Tathagata's words.
Good morning. So I thought I would, on this auspicious day, I think the actual opening ceremony was on January 23rd, but we're awfully close. And it was much more formal. Nobody argued with me, I guess. I really wanted it to be much simpler this time. On the 15th, we had quite a huge event. You can't imagine. We can get 80 people in here. It's the kind of on top. Wasn't that the first thing, big thing we had? There were something like that. There's a book over there that has pictures of it. That wasn't the 15th anniversary. That was when we formally opened the Zendo, I think. And there's a book, small one, with wonderful... There are a lot of books over there with wonderful photographs about various things, including the history of this place. And that one was a present from a woman named Ren Bunce. And it opens with a picture of... The people's shoes were up and down the stairs here because there just wasn't room. A shoe rack was just like ridiculous. So they're up and down the stairs. And then, so that's how it opens. And then at the end, she took a picture after most of the people had left and there were like four pairs of shoes on the stairs, which had been completely full. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the history of this place because it's yours. You know, it belongs to all of us. We started with a sitting group. The first meeting was in September of 1998, and I was still at San Francisco Zen Center, and I wrote a letter and told them the zip codes to send it to, and my friend Jim Jordan was in charge of it, and he added a few zip codes and sent out this letter to the San Francisco Zen Center mailing list, because their mailing list is really extensive. It's like if you go to anything there, you're going to wind up on the mailing list. That was true then. Now it's probably a distribution list or something. I don't know. But at any rate, we set a meeting at my friend Deanna's house, and she used to live catty corner across the street, and when she owned the house over there, it was yellow. She would want me to tell you that she didn't paint it red, white, and blue. Anyway, we set the meeting a couple of 3 months ahead. We didn't do anything to follow up, and we set it for, I don't know, say 3:30 on a Saturday or something, and we got to be 3:30 on a Saturday, and there's nobody there. One guy was there, and Deanna was giving him a tour of the house, and I'm sitting in the kitchen thinking, oh, no, oh, my God. And just like, you know, any party, right, I turned around, and there were 12 people there. So we decided to have a sitting group, and we figured it out, and somebody knew somebody who was involved in the local, I think it was an Episcopal church or something, and they let us start there. Were you at that first meeting? You were, right? Sue was one of our founding members. Unfortunately, a lot of our founding members are no longer among us, or they live on the East Coast or whatever. But we met there. It was Nan and Janet and Cohn, who are all deceased, I'm sorry to say. Deanna, who used to live across the street. Lynn and Robert Hoffman, who moved away. John and Diana Harrington, who kind of didn't stick. Tony DeLong, who will, I guess, be here later. And a woman named Anne, and I don't quite know where she is. We met there for a while, and then we moved, and this is what you need to look at the book so you can see. We moved to a photography studio, and it had, I guess there were props. I'm not sure. That lithograph thing, I don't know what if that was simply, I mean, because it was beautiful in this horrible way. It was a large, like a poster-sized, like, was that a lithograph? anyway, it was black and white. And it was like people that had just come out of a concentration camp or something. Just absolutely skin and bones. So we turned that to the wall when people would meditate, you know. And then there was my favorite, and their pictures. I think there are pictures of both of those things. There was a 1950s style glass-topped coffee table, and it was the base of the coffee table was two Hawaiian young lovelies like this, topless. So we covered that. It was a photography studio, so you had lots and lots of sort of black felt kind of fabric. So we covered that just because it would be distracting. Because when we sat, we had a big, it's right in there, we had a big tatami mat. It was 9 by 12. So we kind of designated a space with that and then sat facing out. So we needed to deal with these things. So anyway, so we sat there for maybe not quite a year, something like that. And then he kind of wanted his studio back. We filled a closet with zafus and zabatons and stuff. Just really, it was nice to have, not to have to schlep it every time. And so we began to sit here. It was kind of not quite finished yet, but we sat here, and eventually the floor got refinished, and we had an altar and so on. And so we opened in January of 2000. And that was a big deal. And my teacher, Sojin Mel Weitzman Roshi, came and helped us open it. And early members who came about then, I guess, I don't know, were a woman named Gail Liam, who was right there, a woman named Betty, I can see her. Anyway, Carol Truitt, who is in home care. Abby Bass, who's in London. Barbara Cohn, who now lives in Marin and is a teacher herself. Kathleen O'Connor, and she now lives in Port Townsend, and I think she sent some words for us. And a woman named Connie, who now lives, last I knew, she was in Connecticut. And Anne McNeil, I guess, and Mimi Saunders. Anyway, so we opened, and it was basically a sitting group. And I think we met once a week. I don't remember what night, if it was it Wednesday or something, I don't know. And then pretty soon we started sitting in the mornings. And at some point, after a few months, Gail said, well, but could we have a class of some kind? And I was thrilled, and so we started having classes. And then we started having a Saturday morning program relatively early on, and some evenings. At this point, it's Wednesday evenings. And we started at some point doing a full moon ceremony or a renewal of intention ceremony the Wednesday closest to the full moon, and Buddha's birthday, and Tsujiki, kind of a day of the dead, Buddha style, and New Year's Eve sitting. And the first one-day sitting was in 2000, so it was soon after we opened. And the first three-day sesshin, a longer sitting, was in March of 2001. And the first five-day was in November of 2004, so moving right along. And the garden was begun in the summer of 2001 and formally opened in June 2002. And you have to understand that what is an amazing garden was like a vacant hillside. I mean, we even found needles and things when we were cleaning it up. And we had it graded and an irrigation system put in, but we put in all those pavers. And we rarely made a mistake. I've not gone over it carefully, but I don't think it's a pattern, you know, it's like two small ones and then a bigger one, a square, and like that. I'm not going to go over it. And if you do, if you go over it and you find something, I don't want to know. Anyway, so there were people from Berkeley Zen Center and Green Gulch and San Francisco. A lot of people worked on that, and there are pictures of that. Also, somebody from Berkeley came to help us, to teach us how to do it, because it was graded, and the layer of rough gravel was put down, but then you had to put a layer of sand down, and then you had to tamp it. And all of those pavers had rough edges, and there were people that were with, what do you call it? Like, you know, now they're trendy to use it to grate citrus skins, plane graters. But anyway, that's what you use to knock off the rough edges. And then the graters would get trashed pretty soon. And so we had, I don't know how many we used, but a lot. And we did it. And we planted it. And Paula and Steve Toth, who now live in Florida, particularly, they just stuck around. And we planted lots of small things. And it was drizzling, and I felt bad. And I kept saying, oh, we don't, you know, we finish another time. And they kept saying, no, it's okay. We're waterproof. We'll just do it. It's perfect weather, actually, for planting. So we did. There's a Jizo statue out in the garden that was donated by Cohn in memory of her son. And Jizo is a bodhisattva for people who have died and for people in transition, and particularly for children who've died. And this is another Jizo. Jizo's usually portrayed as a monk. So we had a formal institution of that on November 2005, and the fountain, which is rarely in operation but does exist, that's in the wall at the far side end of the garden, that was dedicated to Janet Altman's daughter in July of 2006. And the Buddha in the garden had its installation. It's called an eye opening. You pretend to paint the little dots on the eyes in July of 2007. And the memorial stone gardening was had an eye-opening in March of 2013. And that was in memory of Nan Voller. The pepper tree that used to be up there was cut down in December of 2014. And then the new one was welcomed in February of 2015. I'm not going to read all this. We've had quite a few precept ceremonies that people have sewn a roksu, which is what Lisa has on. That's not from here, but that's, and Liam and Steve and Daniel have on. That's taking of the precepts in a formal way. And the first one was Mimi Saunders in 2002, and then Liam in 2003, and the most recent were Kelly McCubbin.
I was working in the kitchen. I had it on.
So what's that behind you? Is that it?
Oh, this is
Lisa's emblem.
Okay. And Daniel McGee. this last late fall, I guess you'd say. Megan Collins received a green rakusu, it means something lay entrustment. That was in May of 2009. And their lawyer's coming later, I think. Anyway, we started doing a retreat for lawyers at Tassajara in spring of 2003 and yearly thereafter. And there was a Pleasant Hill sitting group for a while, but it just became too much. And so some of the people started coming here, and that ended in 2012. And our first 6 weeks practice period was in the fall of 2004, and we've had one every year since, ending with a 5-day sesshin. I received Dharma transmission, authority to teach independently and ordain people and so on, in May of 2005 at Tassajara. And I completed it in the sense of going to Japan for sort of boot camp in 2006 and going to do a ceremony of thank you and a memorial for Dogen at the head temple and also at another head temple for Keizan. And our first Shuso, our head student for practice period, was Megan in the fall of 2005, and then Silver John Hall in 2013, John Briggs in 2015, and Liam Morrissey in 16, and Steve Trigas in 2018. And I was installed as abbot in June of 2008. And later that year, we opened what we call Z2, the overflow Zendo and the kitchen and so on. Somebody lived there sort of half publicly for a while, and then in 13 we just took it over completely. And in 13, January of 13, and pretty much every year after, we started a study group for intermediate and advanced people studying something that was more complicated. And Nan died in I think it was 2013, and John Briggs died in 2016, and Janet died in 2018. Cohn died. It was either 2008 or 9. I know that she was still alive at the time of my installation, because she didn't come. She suffered from depression. We held a second lay entrustment ceremony to give a green raksu for Don Sharp, and that was in June of 17. And Janet died, I think maybe I said that, on September 30th of 2018. And last year we had a lecture by a woman named Chris Fortin, who is part of leadership of a book group called Exploring Racism Dharma Book Group. And she talked about that and diversity practice. And it's something that the practice committee is very interested in working on, and we haven't quite figured it out with all the other things that we're doing. So 20 years, it doesn't seem like it. There's a man named Bill Cook who comes in the morning, and I think he's coming later. And his response when I sent out the email inviting people was, "Wow, 20 years!" And that's how I feel about it. Wow, 20 years. It's amazing to me. And on the other hand, it's not. It's sort of ordinary. We just kept sort of going along and doing what we do. And things change, and we decided to not have so much evening zazen. My teacher, Mel Weitzman, told me you should have evening zazen because that's when people come. Well, they don't. I mean, there's a lot of commuting that goes on from Vallejo, so it's more often that people come in the morning. And usually people come in the morning and also come to other things, but Bill not so much, so we joke that people don't even know that he exists. I say Bill Cook, and people say, "Who's that?" Anyhow, my sense of it is that we've gotten more settled over the years, and that people have taken more and more responsibility and sort of taken ownership. You know, that I don't think I've heard recently your Zendo, which I'm very happy to not hear, and that the practice committee doesn't just agree with everything I say. And somebody recently gave me feedback about a lecture that I had said something that might be construed as critical of somebody. And I really really, I'm just thrilled. I mean, I'm sorry, I did do that, and it wasn't horrible, but it was good that we edited that out. But I'm just thrilled that somebody would tell me no, you know, that somebody would say, I see a problem. That seems to me important. And when I was in Japan for what I called boot camp, which was sort of training in a Japanese training temple for a month and being treated like a beginning priest, especially Steve and Zach took care of the place. Is that right? You know, it's like I think everybody who's been coming for X number of years, I just assume they've been here forever, and so I forget that.
I don't think I was here back then.
Yeah, I think, was it you and? Sorry. Yeah, we had a lot of people. Anyway, people took care of this place. And friends of mine came and stayed here and took care of my dog. So it feels to me like there's been a maturing process going on, and it'll probably continue for all of us. And we're going to do a short ceremony soon. And I was going to invite somebody from the board to speak, but she's not here yet. I think a lot of people who got invitations just, you know, they can't, they're going to come at noon. And it's 11:15, so it's kind of early yet. And the ceremony's not going to take very long. So I'm thinking that maybe I should invite you to ask questions. What we're going to do is we're going to have the ceremony, and just a couple of people are going to speak. And then we're going to have lunch and invite people to share memories and comments and hopefully some funny experiences about their time here. Maybe we'll offer the photographs. We can pass that book around. So do you have any questions or things that you want to say? I just don't want to cut into what happens after lunch. Yes.
So to me, one of the great features of this place is the big pepper tree. And the other one was here.
Mm-hmm.
Were those here?
The two pepper trees, there was one. There's one here. It's already pretty big, but it was as big as the lower one. So there were two pepper trees and this toyon, the red berry, which is a big deal. Toyon is a wild plant in California, and it's very hard to grow them in gardens, apparently. But so it was already here. And then there was a huge palm tree about where this side of where the yellow marigold bush is. I was starting to say, there used to be a half barrel with water in it and mosquito fish until it just got terrible because every time I put a plant in there, the raccoons ate it. Once they discovered it, it didn't matter what plant it was. So it's not there anymore. Anyway, there was this huge palm tree. It was probably as high as the pepper tree. And it was big around, and it just seemed like too many trees. And so, and that's all there was. And it was just a vacant lot. It was just filled with, you know, that dry California grass or whatever. And so the first thing was to get rid of the palm tree, and you know, you can sell them. So somebody, they don't pay you very much, but they remove it, and then they sell it in Southern California or somewhere for thousands and thousands of dollars. So they came with one of those smaller backhoes, and they just went around and around and around, and they dug and dug and dug and dug and dug around it, and then they let it harden off, And then they came with a big flatbed truck and a crane, and they wiggled it a little bit, and then they picked it up, and they put it on the flatbed truck and drove it away. And they filled the hole. My gardening advisor, a man named Steve Stuckey, said, make sure that they don't fill that hole with vegetable matter because it'll rot, and then you'll just have this big dip. So they filled it with gravel, I guess. And it still wound up. It's still a dip there, but it's not that noticeable. So then we had it professionally graded, and by a guy with these wonderful, his crew were mostly from Michoacan. And so they graded it, and the stop me if I could go on like this forever. The ramp over here is ADA compliant. So it's shallow, the angle is shallow enough that you don't need a banister, a railing. And so it curves a little bit partly so it can be long enough to be compliant. And so they graded it and they put in those rock walls, which I absolutely love myself. You know, that's how they do it in Michoacan. It's not Japanese, it's Mexican, as is this building, what's called Spanish Revival, but whatever. And then Steve Stuckey's crew put in the irrigation system. There's a drip irrigation system. And the guys that did the grading and the walls, they put in the first layer of, you know, it was like rough gravel. Is that a good description of what? And then a man named Greg from Berkeley Zen Center. Is there a chair for that person, whoever that is, or someplace for them to sit? They can take the chair from beside the table.
Rained.
Oh, well, he can take care of himself. You just move over, Paul. Yeah, you can just take it without the Zabaton. Just don't slide it, that's all. Anyway, then I can see him. I think his name is Greg from Berkeley Zen Center. Because it wasn't Ron, it was Craig. Okay. And he came and he taught us, and he brought his tamper, which was, you know, a 4x4 maybe not quite that big, and a big flat piece, like a piece of plywood. And then you take it and you tamp down we put down a layer of sand, not super fine, but sand. And then you fit in the pavers. And there's a pattern to it. And I think, as I say, I think we caught the mistakes. So you had a square one, and then you had two half ones, and two half ones, and two half ones, and then a square one, and like that. So it's quite nice. But it was a lot of work. Yes. Sue and Liam were there and there laughing. And the older ladies, I was just running around. I don't know what I was doing. But anyway, the older ladies were the ones that were responsible for filing those, the pavers, the rough edges off. And so there was like a little crew and down by the driveway? Or were you putting the pavers out?
Putting pavers.
Yeah, yes, sorry. I was thinking about Nan and Janet mostly. I don't know. Maybe Tony. At any rate, we did it. And then we planned it. And the first time Mel saw it, the first time my teacher saw it, he said, well, this isn't a garden. Because at that point, there was a plant here, and then a plant over here, and then a plant over there, because it hadn't really filled in yet. Now there's too much. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
I get two.
Sure. Well, there's nobody else.
Where did the Buddha come from behind you?
Oh, I don't know. I used to always have an eye out for things like that. Now we have plenty. So there's this one and there's one in the library. The one in the library is quite wonderful too. It's wood. And I don't know. There are places in Berkeley that sell stuff. The one in the garden comes from a place called Garden Asia, I think it was. It's in Berkeley, down by the new Berkeley Bowl, kind of. I used to say where, Whole Goods was, but Whole Earth, but that's not there anymore. Anyway, down there. But these things, I don't know. And the Kuan Yin and the Memorial Stone Garden came from that same place. But these two, I think they probably came from places in Berkeley. Might have come from San Francisco. I just had my eye out, and I look for a couple of things. I look for ones that have a straight back instead, because often they're kind of like this, and I think, what a bad example. And also, and that their hands not be this mudra that you see sometimes with the fingers curled back and then like that. That is a Maitreya Buddha, I think it is. So it could be an Amida Buddha, but at any rate, it's not a Shakyamuni Buddha. The ones where the hands are the kind of mudra we do with this is a universal mudra or wisdom mudra. And there's also ones where he's touching the earth, and there's some where he's totally, you know, skin and bones. You can see his backbone from the front, that kind of thing. Those are all Shakyamunis. And you know those stories from his enlightenment and so on. So I was looking for, you know, for that. And I see you. But I don't really remember. And I was happy that they didn't look white. Now, he may have been sort of, you know, Northern Indians Indians are Caucasians, but they often don't look so white, and I really like that these guys don't look so white. I mean, he's black, so, I mean, literally the color black, and that was attractive to me, because I want people to feel welcome here. Yes?
Well, what is this Buddha's hand position?
That's teaching the Dharma.
Teaching the Dharma. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the one in the library is. It's very...
What about when they're like, when Buddha's like, is that...
I have no fear.
With the hand
out? Yeah, or like, it's okay. There are books about this.
Oh, okay, got it.
And
What is this new one on the corner here that I've never seen before?
This?
That one.
That's Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of great wisdom. And the end of his sword is red, and it's supposed to be a flame. But given that it's a sword, it looks kind of like blood. Yeah. Well, he killed my delusions. I mean, sometimes it feels like Manjushri is sticking you through, you know, when your teacher or your friend or you yourself notice that you're holding on to a delusion and you make an effort to let go of it. Sometimes it feels like you're getting poked or more. So practice committee people, I'm not sure, it's not even 11:30 yet, and we invited people for noon.
I think you should wait till noon.
I do too, but what, could you want to just sit? No, let's not.
Okay.
Because how about we just sit zazen? I mean, we only sat for about 25 minutes. Is that, we do some walking meditation and then sit zazen for a little while. Okay?
Before we break for that, is there anything that needs to get done still before noon?
We have to put the salad together, but that won't take very long.
Okay.
Yeah, salad, and there's a drizzle to go on top of the cake that we're not going to drizzle on top. We're going to put it next to it.
But it needs to get put together. But it, I mean, I think maybe
I
five.
Have a little veggie platter to put together.
Right. Well, this is my sort of vague idea that we'll do the ceremony at noon, and then people put things back together and mill about and eat veggie dip and some little crackers, while those of us responsible for the meal put the finishing touches on it, and that'll probably just take a few minutes. And then we'll eat, and while we're having dessert, people will tell stories about their experience of this joint, I hope.
So the salad, we do that after the ceremony, we put the salad.
Yes. Yes, I probably said after lecture, did I?
Yeah.
I lied. I mean, I thought that. Anyway, never mind. But yeah, after the ceremony.
Do we know if Kate's statement was meant to go with the ceremony or... later.
Do it later. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
And I have something from Alan, which you can read also. Anyway. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
No, I'm just waiting.
So let's we put things back together when lecture ends, and then just sit. If you need to do... walking meditation for a little bit to stretch out your legs, and go ahead, or just sit. We'll only be sitting for about 25 minutes, so it won't be so long. But let me tell you what the ceremony is now, and because this is enough that you can help out, and it's not going to be complicated. You're going to just get in a big semicircle, and it can be as many rows as need be. And then I will come in and offer fragrance, and we will all bow to the altar. And I don't have it in front of me, but you can just follow along. I think I'll offer a fragrance, and then I'll come back, and we'll all bow to the altar. And then I will say something, and we will chant the Heart Sutra. And then a couple of people will speak, and I will speak, and then we'll chant the All Buddhas and bow to the altar and then to one another. And that's basically it. And then afterwards, if anybody wants to offer fragrance, you can. But there's going to be a lot of people, so you're totally invited, but after the ceremony. Are there any questions about that? And Steve is going to be kind of the Eno, and he'll lay it out again right before we start. Okay?
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them.